Well, let's go ahead to the slide that says 2023. Again, wishing you a happy new year. And so I was mentioning to the group, the worship band, that my prior six-part series has it turned into a five-part series because it was about angels leading to Christmas, and I'm not going to extend the Christmas message. So that one was a five-part series after all. And we're not starting a new series yet today because, as you might imagine, in praying about what to say today, it seemed like the Lord was saying to teach on something that would better help us individually and as a church move into the new year. What's going to be helpful? What's going to help us have perspective? What's going to help us have, as they say, our sea legs on a ship that maybe might be having a little bit of choppy water? But I think it's for the Lord's glory and it's temporary. So that's just a hint. But so today it's going to be a sort of moving into 2023 message. And it's based on what the Lord is saying to me, but also what I believe the Lord would have me say to you individually and as a church. So the title of today's message is 2023, the four-way stretch. The four-way stretch, 2023. So before we get started, let's pray. Father, you say in your word that to be aware of the times, the signs of the times, and that it is your will that we would not be caught unaware. So I pray that today's sharing and today's message would help us all, Lord, to better serve you in the year to come because of what you've revealed to us. For you have said, the secret things belong to the Lord, but that which is revealed is for you, us, and your posterity forever. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's the kind of bottom line with what I'm saying today. At this time, meaning in these days, there are, I believe, four spiritual undercurrents in the invisible world that are shaping all that we see in the visible world today. So an example might be the ocean or the atmosphere. So in the atmosphere, you have the jet stream. And the jet stream is above the atmosphere, and it's not seen, but it actually is what's driving all of the weather that we see around us. So in a way, it's a sort of a picture, an illustration of what I'm saying. Something that's sort of out of sight is driving something that we do see, the weather. Same thing with the oceans. They would wonder in days past how it could be that certain ships would get on a certain place in the ocean and end up always in the same place. Well, the currents under the ocean are driving the waters even though you can't really see them. So something invisible is driving something that's visible. That's really what we're looking at today. It's very important, I believe, for us as Christians to know what that means. So the four things start with this. I cannot overstate this. The entire Bible tells us that Israel is God's clock. The spoke in the wheel, the spokes that come out, it's the wheel out of which all the spokes. Israel is the driver behind everything that's happening in the world today. You want to know where you are in God's timetable, you look at Israel. There are many scriptures I could state. One, of course, being the one where the angel comes to Daniel and says there are certain 70 weeks have been predetermined for your nation, for your people, for your holy city. And so there's those seven last years that are yet unfulfilled. The book of Revelation are the seven last years in symbolic language. And with every passing day, they're not as symbolic as they used to be. But this first one, Israel, really is what's controlling everything that you see in the news regarding world events. For example, they used to say, well, gosh, look at this prophecy in the Bible. It says that Elam, which is Iran, is going to be devastated by the children of Israel. That's never happened. That's Persia. And look at this. It says the city of Damascus is going to be devastated by the children of Israel. That's never happened. That's Syria. And in our day, people who follow Bible prophecy have said, well, gosh, that doesn't look very likely because Russia has just signed a treaty with Iran, saying that if anything happens, by golly, Russia is going to come in there and help and defend Iran. But what if Russia is bogged down somewhere else? Are they going to come to the aid of Iran? Are they going to come to the aid of Syria like they said? No. Where is Russia bogged down today? Is it going well for them? Do you get my point? Who just got reelected, reinstated as the head of Israel? Netanyahu. What has he said in the past? He said, there's no way we're going to let Iran have a nuclear weapon. If we have to go in, we'll go in. He told the UN that. It's one of the reasons his opposition came in and kicked him out, but he's back. So what's the undercurrent? What's the jet stream? What's the current that's driving some of these events like Russia being bogged down in Ukraine? There it is. That's just one example. Jesus said it best. This is one of the scriptures that got me saved, by the way. We're about to read it. When Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it. And he said, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they've been hidden from your eyes. For the days are coming when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you, surround you, and hem you in on every side. They will level you to the ground and your children within you. They will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. He was speaking of himself. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the city must leave, and those in the country must not enter the city. For these are days of vengeance, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled. And woe to those who are pregnant and nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress upon the land and wrath upon this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles. Gentiles means people who are not Jewish. Until. What was that word? Until. Until. The times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So that was literally what happened. The Romans came in 70 AD because there had been a Jewish rebellion and leveled the city, did not leave one stone upon another because there were rumors that the Jews kept gold in between the stones. So they tore down all the stones of the temple for that reason. That's what happened. And they killed many. There were about 1 million Jews that were trying to hold out at the Temple Mount. Sold many to slavery, led the Jews away into captivity. They hated the Jews so much they changed the name of Israel to Palestine, which is the Roman name for Philistine. And the Jewish people had been persecuted and hunted down and killed and forced to move ever since for 2,000 years. That's why Jesus wept over the city. Until. After the Holocaust, the Jewish people went back to Israel. And the Bible says in the last days of Michael, the prince of your people, the archangel will be unleashed. And he was. Because what started to happen can only be described as miraculous. In 1948, when the Jewish people, when they reestablished the state of Israel, all the Arab nations said, we're going to attack. And miraculously, the Jewish people were able to hold them off. And there are stories from the Arabs that said, well, we saw this huge creature behind your lines, and we were afraid. And then in 1967, that scripture was literally fulfilled. It was called the Six-Day War, otherwise called the Six-Day Miracle. The Jews were outnumbered, 10 to 1? More than that. As I think I explained, I believe it was they had only in those days, in 1967, the Jews had a fleet of French, were they Sabres or Mirage, French jets that had the afterburners that only lasted a certain amount of time. And the plan came, I believe it was Moshe Dayan, who said, well, the only way we can possibly have a chance here is if the Egyptian Air Force, which was the largest air force in the Arab world, is disabled. So they got in their planes and they put their afterburners on to get there before the Egyptian jets could take off. And miraculously, the afterburners didn't deplete the fuel in their jets. So they got there very, very quickly, and they strafed while the Egyptian jets were still on the ground. They strafed back and forth, and destroyed the entire Egyptian Air Force. And as the saying goes, victory begets victory. That was so demoralizing that they were able to hold off and win that war. And in the process came the radio signal that rocked the world from the general that mounted Mount Moriah and said what? The Temple Mount is in our hands. Until Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. That was 1967. And so since 1967, the spotlight of God moved away from the Gentile nations who had been left to kind of go, and is back on Israel. And now Israel becomes the jet stream. Israel becomes the undercurrent. Israel becomes the thing that God is going to use. Now, I'm not saying he brings about evil. I'm not saying he brought about, you know, that he is the cause why the Ukrainians are suffering. No. What I'm saying is God has a way of orchestrating things to get his will accomplished. And we know from the Bible that right now everything in world affairs is being driven by God's reestablishment of the state of Israel in preparation for the second coming of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, it means that the promises to Abraham are still good. The promises to the Jewish nation are still good. The last thing you want to do in your life is be anti-Semitic. As God said, I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. And you don't want to be setting yourself inadvertently against God's purposes. As I've shared, what I don't know, I haven't heard this anywhere else, but I believe God spoke to me about it. So God had to cut a covenant with Israel through Abraham. If you remember that in Genesis, where Abraham says, God, how will I know that you're going to give me this land? So that's how you know for sure Abraham was a friend of God. Because that's pretty audacious, right? How can I know for sure that you're going to give me this land? And God says, okay, you know what? We're going to do what you all do around your kingdoms, around where you live. Get some animals, cut them in half. And in those days, you cut an animal in half, you set the sides opposite one another, you walk between them as a way of saying, may the fate of this animal come upon me if I fail to live up to the promise of this agreement. That's what that meant. So God said, okay, Abraham, you get some animals, cut them in half. And so God came down in a pillar of fire, and he goes between the pieces. So that's God saying, may the fate of this animal come upon me if I don't give you this land as an eternal possession, you and your descendants. And he never asked Abraham to do the same. In other words, it was unconditional. I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. And what I've said in the past, you might be the only ones who hear this. I hope not. So, Donald Trump did not return to the White House in 2020 because in January of that year, when things were going really great, he introduced something called the Deal of the Century. The Deal of the Century was a Middle East peace proposal. And part of that proposal, they were going to give some land to the Palestinians. And up to that time, God had used him. I mean, you know, so he used to be the playboy from New York. God had used him, and even though he had all this opposition, the country was doing really well, and he had all this favor, and he was being a huge friend to Israel. But he proposed that. And then what happened in January 2020? The first thing that happened was, I remember that day I turned to Kim and I said, that agreement is big trouble for Donald Trump. And I was really sad. That agreement is big trouble. Because he has inadvertently set himself at cross purposes with God. So that's what happened, folks. Election irregularities that would have otherwise been stopped by the hand of God were not. That is what happened. Why? Because the jet stream and the current behind everything is Israel. If I ever get to meet him with respect, and if there's any possible way, I'll say, look, if you get back in there, please don't ever say that the land that God gave to Abraham, swore to give him, that the Palestinians have a right to any of it. Because God loves the Palestinians, but it's not going to happen. Next slide. The Great Commission. So besides Israel, the jet stream and the current in the oceans is the Great Commission. And what's neat and cool about this is it's kind of under the radar, but it also controls everything. So you remember when Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a man, I believe it's what, Mark chapter 2, I might be wrong about that, that sows seed in the field and then he leaves and then he doesn't know how, but it just kind of grows. Or remember the one where he said, the kingdom of God is like a woman that put some yeast in a bowl of dough, and then just without even trying, that the yeast kind of grows in there and grows in there and grows in there, and suddenly it leavens the whole lump. So under the radar, God is getting the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world. And I say under the radar because, using myself as an example, in 1979 when I read a book and came to Christ, and suddenly my life was going in this direction and went in this direction, nobody knew and nobody cared. And that's happening all over the world as we speak. The Great Commission. The Holy Spirit doing a search and rescue commission. Commission means commission. The Holy Spirit and us. Let's read a primary scripture for that. And he, Jesus, showed himself alive after his passion, which is the cross, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them by his disciples for 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John the Baptist, truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. When they therefore had come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Because they were Jews, and they knew the prophecies and the predictions that one day the Messiah would rule the world from Israel. The lion would lay down with the lamb, neither shall they learn war anymore. So they came to him and said, Lord, is this the time? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has kept in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So that's what's going on. The four-way stretch. Number one, Israel. Number two, the Great Commission. Under the radar, God is evangelizing the world. And that is shaping world events also. We were yesterday at a sort of a lunch meeting with somebody who knows the advisor to the president of Uganda, and someone else who's, I guess, a pastor in Nigeria. And he was telling us things that totally blew our mind that no one knows about. I mean, in Nigeria, so this guy, he's felt like God said, you know, leave the main capital, go out into the wilderness, so to speak, away from the city, and build a structure there for a church. And without asking anybody for money, they went out into the main stronghold of witchcraft in that nation to build that church. And within a couple of years, I guess they had 50,000 people coming times four. They have four services in a building that holds 50,000 people, if I'm remembering this correctly, in Nigeria. And he never asked them for money to build it. They saw what he was doing and they wanted to contribute. So that's the Holy Spirit under the radar. And all the witchcraft people left the area. So what that means is that one of the things driving the times we live in is gatherings like this. You know, God has graciously allowed us with many churches after COVID, they end up at half strength. That's kind of where we're at, but we're still here and we're able to function. And that's not just because he likes us. That's because he's saying, okay, you know, Gideon's 300. Anybody know the story of Gideon's 300? So Gideon was one of the judges, and he got this army together to go against, I think it was the Midianites. And God says, there's too many. I want there to be fewer so that people will know when I deliver you and get victory that they'll know it's me and they won't think it was them. So I believe that's kind of, God is saying, well, I'm having you guys be sustained, and but now it's time to come together, pray, and see how we can reach out to this community. Because that's how it works. But one of the things driving everything that goes on in the world is the Great Commission under the radar. Let's go to the next slide. Oh, and then when he had spoken these things while they beheld him, he was taken up in a cloud, received up out of their sight. And while they looked intently toward heaven, as he went up from them, behold, two men, angels, stood by them in white apparel, and they said, the two men, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So where were they? They were at the Mount of Olives. Where did he ascend from? The Mount of Olives. Where is he coming back to? The Mount of Olives. That's in Scripture. It's in Zechariah, especially. That's where the second coming of Christ will happen. Next. One world government. Okay, we just told you two things of what God's doing. Now we're going to tell you what the devil's doing. One world government. Since the days of the Tower of Babel, that's what the devil has wanted. Total control. So that, first of all, he can totally stop the gospel from spreading. And secondly, so he can totally kill everybody. Very simple. And so, since World War II, with the atomic bomb, more and more of the financiers and bankers and diplomats have been saying, hey, you know what? There has to be a one world government. Otherwise, these nations will kill ourselves. And so they've been driving and driving and trying to find ways to break down barriers and break down nation states and eventually have a one global currency. And how are we going to control people? And how are we going to make sure they obey us? And how are we going to do? If you don't see that what's been happening with COVID is a way to control us like the way tear gas controls a crowd, then you're just not paying attention. But it's the enemy trying to, you know, and if you think it's an accident that why do all these governments, not just the United States, keep on voting for increasing their debt? Doesn't that seem stupid? Doesn't that seem crazy? Crazy like a fox. Because what happens when it all crashes? Let's start over. Let's have a what? Global currency. Now, I've preached about that. I don't think that'll happen initially in the United States, but that's another story. One world government. Everything that you see where it seems like something is controlling the media, something is causing all of the institutions of government and media and unions and schools and everything, they're just sort of starting to fly in formation all of a sudden. What in the world is happening? There it is. That's a picture of the Antichrist with his sidekick, the false prophet, in the temple. The Bible says in the last days, in the book of Revelation, he'll go to the temple and proclaim himself to be God, and he'll be ruling the entire world. The Antichrist, the hybrid, the one who Satan is indwelling. And I believe he'll be a hybrid, like because they try to kill him, head wound, he won't die. And when Jesus comes back, they throw him into hell without death because he can't die. He's not really human. He's a monster from hell. Let's read a controlling scripture regarding that. These are the times of the Antichrist. And he causes all, the small, the great, and the rich, and the poor, and the free, and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except one that has the mark, either the name of the beast, which is the Antichrist, or the number of his name. That's where it's going. So one of the other undercurrents, the jet stream, right? Four-way stretch. Israel, the Great Commission, and the drive towards a one-world government is also happening. And that's why things have been taken to a whole other level. Finally, the fight for America. So what is this? Anybody? So I did a sermon series in this church. Long story short, put it into a book. It's being published this Tuesday. Prophetic Patriotism, New Call to Action. And I go into detail about America and the fight for America and all that sort of thing. And I do recommend the book because it has to do with what we're talking about. It'll help you get your sea legs and perspective. Let me read a little bit to you. The days described in the Bible as those immediately preceding the return of Christ, commonly referred to as the end times. Even though the United States is not specifically named in biblical prophecy among the end times players and events predicted to take the stage before the second coming, the United States is nevertheless very much like a pin setter that configures the pins in a bowling alley. Sets everything up. In my analogy, the champion bowler represents God the Father, getting ready to send down his son Jesus Christ for his return to rule and reign the earth. Thanks to the Father's pin setter, the United States, it will be a perfect strike. In this book, I have singled out 10 biblically predicted end times eye openers as being especially important. They are like 10 pins. Their placement on the world stage today is undeniably been brought about primarily by the United States of America. This truth. So the second coming of Christ is the apex of history, the zenith of history. That's where everything's going. And so what I just said is that these things that are set up on the world stage, even though the U.S. isn't named, the U.S. set them all up. This truth is so profound that I believe it compels us toward the following conclusion. God's hand was involved in the founding of America to eventually bring about its end times prophetic role. God's hand was involved in the founding of America for the purpose of bringing about its end times today, its prophetic role of setting the stage for the coming of Christ.
That's why we're here. I wrote this book because if God does anything with it, as I was explaining yesterday when somebody asked me, because my fear, if you will, is that the current conservative grassroots movement is unsustainable unless it is attached to the second coming. I liken it to a marathon runner, right? So if the marathon runner knows where the goal line is, knows where it is, what it is, knows what the goal line is, knows what it looks like, knows what it looks like when he's getting close, knows how to recognize from the surroundings when he's getting close to the goal, to the finish line, then his marathon race is sustainable. He'll get his second wind. He'll keep going. He won't give up. But if you just tell a marathon runner to run, just run. Well, where's it? Well, you know what? It's out there. Just run. That's not sustainable. I believe that unless the current conservative grassroots movement to try to reestablish a constitutional America, unless you tell that movement where it's going and why, it's going to peter out. It has to be attached to the second coming. So here, let me show you another little piece here. And so America has come to a fork in the road. Okay, here we go. If grassroots populism takes hold in the near term, then I believe the road ahead for America will look like this. First, a great religious awakening and the turning back of globalism and continued protection of Israel by America and world evangelism. Then, the rapture. So that's the taking of the church by Jesus before the end time, before Armageddon. Then the rapture, the final return of globalism, the Antichrist, the rise of the Antichrist, Armageddon, and the second coming. This road would be the fulfillment of America's last day's prophetic purpose. But if grassroots populism does not take hold in the near term, then I believe the road ahead for America will instead look like this. First, the end of all of our freedoms under the Bill of Rights. The socialist control of everyone by those who believe in global governance. The protection of Israel occurring apart from America. Remember what Mordecai said to Esther, if you don't step in, Queen Esther, you're queen because you were raised up to protect Israel, just like America was raised up to protect. If you don't do it, deliverance for the Jews will come from somewhere else, but you and your house will be destroyed. Same thing here. So you'd have the protection of Israel occurring apart from America and worldwide evangelism occurring apart from America. God raised up America to be the spearhead, the driver for evangelizing the world. But if we won't do it, he'll get it done. Psst. Trust me on that one. Then will come the rapture, the Antichrist, Armageddon, and the second coming of Christ. But this road would be the loss of America's last day's prophetic purpose. Which road will it be? I hope and believe that America will turn to God and journey back down the first road, which includes another great awakening, and fulfill its purpose. But I know it's possible that America will turn away from the first road and accept government policies that take away the rights of an independent church, free exercise of religion, freedom of speech. If the freedom of the church to speak the gospel is no longer an accepted right according to the government, America journeys down the second road, and its prophetic purpose is lost. I will leave it to the theologians to figure out how predestination and free will both work at the same time. In the meantime, it's time for you and I to take action. So Tuesday, you can go on Amazon, get this book. I recommend you do it. Because that is what's that's the fourth current that we are living under, the fight for America. If you're wondering why all of a sudden gosh, you know, I never dreamed that everyone would be advocating that we not only play God with human life and play God with when life begins and play God with the but play God with family and gender and sexuality and all of that stuff. That we're God. We get to be God. We get to say all of that. But, you know, instead of just an opinion that's out there, now it's taking control. Now, like Isaiah says, you know, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Now, as Jeremiah says, those that are righteous make themselves a prey. Now it's not just, well, we'll just agree to disagree. No, now we will destroy you for not calling sin virtue and virtue sin. It's the fight for America. The reason why the devil wants to take out America is what I just told you. It's what I just read to you. The reason why suddenly you and I and our families and our extended families and so on are caught up in the warfare, the spiritual warfare, is because God is trying to take out the United States of America and keep it from fulfilling its prophetic purpose. To protect Israel and to be the driver behind world evangelism. That's what's happening. Next slide. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. And I go into this book how I believe that the seven churches in Asia represent the church ages. The sixth church is Philadelphia, which is revivalism. It's what we would call evangelical Christianity. And it mainly took place in the United States and came from the United States. Tent meetings, revivals, great awakenings, all those things. And it's not an accident that the name of the church, the sixth church, is Philadelphia. What happened in Philadelphia? The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. To the church in Philadelphia, write, this says he who is holy, who is true, he that hath the keys of David, he that opens, no man shuts, shuts, and no man opens. I know your works. I know what you're about, what you've been doing. Behold, I have set before you an open door that no man can shut. Thank God it's in the Constitution. That's the door that's open that's not going to be shut. Okay? For you have little strength and you have kept my word and have not denied my name. My name means who I am. The revivalists, they didn't remake God into their own image. Behold, I may all make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I make them come worship before you, your feet, and know that I loved you. And then you have to understand, as I explained in the book, in those days, all the Christians were Jews. And so what he's really saying is, I will make those who say they're Jews, like you're a Jew that believes in Jesus, I will make those who say they're Jews who don't believe in Jesus, but they're lying that they're Jews because they're not really Jews, I'll make them know that I was for you. Change the word Jew to Christian. I'll make those Christians who say they're Christians, but they're not, they're doing the devil's work, who are coming and are opposing you and what you're trying to do to keep my name, keep who I am true, and to know that, and they're going to worship in front of you, they're going to worship him in front of you, knowing that I was for you. Because you have kept my word, the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. That's the rapture. I will keep you from the hour of trial. That's one reason I believe that the rapture, which is the church, is taken by Jesus to be with him in heaven before the last 7 years from Daniel, which is Armageddon. And the devil's trying so hard to come up with something that's going to be big enough to explain away the rapture. And I believe it will have something to do with the Antichrist having some kind of UFO connection. And, well, you know, the stars and the universe is with us. And these people that were taken away, they were in the way. So that's kind of, you know, I've gone into that at other times. But here Jesus says, you know, because you've kept my name, I'm going to take you out before it gets totally nightmarish. You don't want to be here for the last 7 years. You read the book of Revelation, And you don't need me to tell you that you don't want to be here. You either want to have passed away from natural causes, or you want to be taken by Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's based on the Jewish holiday, which was the Feast of Trumpets. And the Feast of Trumpets was a series of blasts on the shofar through the day, the shofar, the ram's horn, through the day. So there's going to be some among us who are going to hear it and are going to make sure that their affairs are in order and get out of harm's way. But there's going to be others who are saying, wait, I believe I'm a Christian, but I don't hear anything. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins? Jesus says, in that day, there's going to be 10 virgins. 5 will be ready and 5 won't. 5 will have their oil, 5 won't. And the word will go out, the bridegroom's coming. That's what I'm explaining to you right now. The bridegroom is coming. And so some will be ready and some will say, well, you know, but, and then there's going to be those that they're left behind. So if you're doing something that you know you should not do, don't take any chances. Stop doing it. Or die trying. Agree with God and try your best to stop doing it. And then if you can't, God will take you. But you agreed with God and you're trying your best. But if you decide you're going to remake Jesus Christ into your own image and change him so that you can do what you're doing, you're going to be one of those 5. You heard it from me, folks. You heard it here this morning. And you just read it there. He didn't say that to all the churches. He didn't say it to the next one, Laodicea. He said, because you've kept my name, I will keep you from the hour of trial. And if there's something that you feel like you should do, that God is saying, you need to be doing this and such, just do it. You know, I don't want to get into a debate with you about, well, you know, grace is a finished work and we're all saved. And like, you know what? Yes, you're saved. God loves you. You're saved. God loves you. God loves me. Don't take any chances. Just do your best. God, you know, you don't have to work for your salvation. But who do you love? Who do you love? Where's your heart? When you say, like the song says, here's my heart. Here's my heart. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. Speak to me. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast. By the word, quickly means suddenly. Hold fast to what you have so that no one takes your crown. Don't let anybody talk you out. Now, you take this to God, okay? And, you know, you can read my book. Don't just take what I say. You take this to God and see if it resonates, what I'm telling you. 2023 is the year to, as much as you can, get serious about God, and you'll fill your life with joy if you do it. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God. He overcomes means if you get a Spartan attitude, if you get fight in you, if you get fight, like, you know, I'm gonna serve Jesus or die trying. He who overcomes, he who has that attitude, like Jacob wrestling the angel and all that sort of thing. God, he greatly values that the fighter for him. Upon him, I will back up one. And he shall go out no more. You be a pillar in the temple of my God. The idea is, you know, you're going to be the, you know, Marines looking for a few good men. You're going to be the special ops. You're going to be the special. You're going to be the ones that are going to be the example for everybody. Make you a pillar. Tell him, my God, he shall go out no more. I will write upon him the name of my God. The name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write upon him my new name. In the Old Testament, when, in other words, that's mine. It's like the idea of a brand. The name of my God, the name of the city of my God, and my new name. What's Jesus' new name in the book of Revelation? What does he call himself that's nowhere else in the Bible? I am the Alpha and Omega. Underline the word Omega. It means the end. I'll write upon you my new name. I am the Jesus of the end times. That's because he's giving that name in the book of Revelation. In other words, you're going to be known as the end time Christians. I'll write upon you my new name. Hallelujah. And that matters. Why? Because population grows exponentially, and there's going to be more people alive in the last days than all the rest of time combined. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. As we move forward into 2023, what should we do in light of this four-way stretch I've been telling you about? This is Paul. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual, as in Holy Spirit, service of worship. In other words, show up and lay down your life. Jesus said, take up your cross, which means die to yourself. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. So, Lord, whatever I need to do. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's this Bible. That's why God gave it. You renew your mind. You decide, I'm going to believe what the Bible says. I'm not going to believe what I'm hearing or reading or even what I see with my eyes, because I'm going to believe what the Bible says. And I confess, I'm going to recognize, I just told you about the whole thing with Abraham, right? And the promises to Israel. This Bible is a contract. God cut a covenant with Abraham, and he's cut a covenant with you in the blood of Jesus Christ. And here it is. And so I've encouraged you as much as I possibly can. Think of this Bible as your, you have permission from God. In fact, he encourages you to use this like a contract that you always place before him, just like Hezekiah did in the temple, right? And that's why you confess the word. That's why you speak to things, and Jesus said, who shall ever say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, it shall happen, shall be done, and you think, why would he say stuff like that? That's not even rational. Well, no, what's he doing? He's saying, look, God is a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So you have the Father, right, the creative intelligence, the Word or the expression, the Word, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, which is the power that carries out the expression or command of the creative intelligence. You are now the body of Christ. He's letting you be in his slot. He's letting you be in that word portion where your words matter now because they're infused by the Holy Spirit, and he prompts you to speak things in his name. That's what that means, in his name. So the idea is, he's saying, look, if I make you my own and give you my Holy Spirit and I'm the second person, I'm the expression or command, then your words are going to matter far more than they otherwise would have. And you don't even realize it. Why? Because I've made you the word. I put you in my spot. I made you my apprentice, the body of Christ. That's why it matters what you confess and what you say. It's not hocus pocus. It's not magic. And you want to be walking in the Spirit, but you walk in the Spirit, you get with God, and he'll tell you, speak to that, speak to that, speak to that. And he's not saying, be a magician. No, he's saying, if you speak to it, I'll speak to it. That's what he means. He says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, faith in who? Faith? Faith in faith? No, faith in what? In who? Right. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, then you shall say to this mountain, right? Well, he's saying it through you. Be removed. It shall be done. Did you do anything? No. He did it. Boy, I hope you're getting this. But unless you know this word, unless you make it your business to at least know the words of Jesus, at least generally, then you're not going to be equipped to do that. What did he say to the devil when the devil came to him in the Mount of Temptation? He said, it is written. That was an example for us. He said, okay, Blissfield, Solid Rock Church, here's how you do it. You watching? It is written. God is the God of the word. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? Word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Do you get that, Blissfield? Do you see how I did that? That's you. You do this too. It's not the King James Version, but that's the idea. Only God's Spirit and God's Word can guide us through the four-way stretch all around us, both individually and as a church. You have to come before God enough and be silent before Him enough so that you have a that you're able to trust your guts, as they say. Trust your guts. You want to get a track record so that you trust what your intuition is in the Spirit. But that does you no good if you don't know this word. So Happy New Year. Be praying for us. We're wanting to do something in the way of a gathering, commiserating, meeting, probably in a month or so, when we've at least moved to our temporary. We have to move to a temporary place before they finish building our house. And so we're going to say, God, you know, thank you that we're still able to function. We're still here, and we're not as big as we used to be, but here we are, Gideon's 300. What do you want to do? And He'll tell us. You know, we have some things in mind. And get the book and realize that this was birthed out of the womb, if you will, of this room. Pray that God will use it, because, you know, I just happen to think that what He gave me for you all is for the country. So, you know, am I being unrealistic? No, I mean, if God wants it disseminated, then it will be. But it's in His hands. I mean, I'd give you all free copies, but I can't afford that. So come Tuesday or afterward, just go online. Prophetic, as in prophecy, prophetic patriotism.
Can you get some copies to put on the table?
We'll see.